to a very special edition of Make Audio, the audio program from Make Magazine. I'm Philip Terone, Associate Editor of Make Magazine, and for the next 20 minutes or so, we're going to hopefully take up some of your time in line for Star Wars Episode 3 with a couple interviews from people from our second issue. On our second issue, on the cover, we have a bunch of cool-looking androids, robots, C-3POs, R2-D2s, in a section called R2-DIY. So we catch up with a couple of the people who provided some photos and some stories and some of the things they do to make their own R2 units, and now we've got this audio interview. So enjoy! All right, I'm here with Tom Joswiak from, where are you from, Tom?
Bolingbrook, Illinois.
Oh, excellent. You have an R2 unit, and you've built it. Can you tell me a little bit about your R2 unit?
Basically, I've belonged to a group on the web that consists of a little over 2,000 people worldwide that have a fascination with building what they call astromechs, or R2-D2s. And what I have is built up an exact replica working of an R2-D2.
And how long have you been working on this?
Actually, I'm coming up to my year anniversary. I started just about a year ago by receiving my first part, which was actually the dome from another builder in California, and that's what got me started.
Wow.
So it's about a year now.
So this guy actually builds the plastic domes?
Actually, mine is pretty, I've got about 70% of my unit is aluminum.
Uh-huh.
The dome is aluminum. Most of my parts are aluminum, except for I have a wooden frame and resin, which is like a poured material, legs. So it's a little mixture of everything, wood, resin, and aluminum.
Wow.
The dome, in this case, was solid spun aluminum that was machined.
And are you going for accuracy? Or are you going for some functionality? What's your main goal in the reproduction?
Well, originally I wanted just a simple thing to stand in a corner, and that's what I started with. And then I got—I don't want to say obsessed is the right word—but I became obsessed with trying to, because I'm an engineer, putting in as much electronics and functionality to try to replicate as best I can what I saw on TV, on the movies. And with this, because a lot of stuff you see in the movies never really happened with the R2. A lot of it was CG generated and stuff. So what we're attempting to do is try to get it to do what you see on the movies. So I became obsessed with trying to get all the electronics working, sounds, and the leg dropping, and the tilt moving, and actually operational. So yes, I want accuracy, but I'm not to a point where if it's off a little bit here or there, I'm not that concerned, but I don't want it to be noticeably off. If it's something I know it's off by, you know, an eighth of an inch, that's fine. But I'm more concerned about fully operational to try to replicate as best you see in the movies.
So tell me about the electronics that are going into this. It sounds like there's just tons of motors and LEDs. Is this like a real big engineering project?
There's probably got over $1,000 worth of electronics just in it, from custom boards from a gentleman out of Australia called Mark Hamster. He created a board that he designed that it has a lot of functionality on it, but it basically takes your battery power voltage and allows you to drive motors via either a PC or a radio, RC radio. So I have that main board. Then there's another circuit board in there that's a flash card reader. Basically, I download all the sounds for R2 onto a flash card that plugs into this board, and then I control that with another board that, via a little simple remote, I can trip different sounds to go off. And then I have two other boards, another motor controller board, a higher powered one, and a third controller board that allows me to connect my laptop to it. And basically, the ultimate goal of this thing is to write software programs, which Mark in Australia has some, but to get this thing to become a totally artificial intelligence. So by virtue of the secondary board, and you put a mini PC inside, it will interface to this board, and effectively via all sorts of infrared sensors, sonar, whatever, in effect, hope to become, that's the goal of everyone here, is to create a truly artificial intelligent, or as close as you can come to this droid, to turn on the power and let him go and let him do his thing and be responsive to input sensors and things of that nature.
Wow, so
that's the long-term goal.
So he can might, you know, live in your home and run around and talk to the kids and maybe send photos or, you know, be a guard for the door and stuff like that?
Is yeah,
that...
I mean, yeah, I mean, you can think of in the realm of, yeah, could it be, since it does, it will have input sensors as far as infrared, that, yeah, you can leave it as a, somebody breaks the beam, it can send off alarms. It could be an amusement toy, whereas for kids that come up to it, it can be responsive to their voice because there's mics on there for sound activation, that it can maybe stick out an arm, it can do things of that nature via however you write the program. So long term, I'm hoping to get my son, who's very interested in programming, to work on some of the simple programs to do such these things, and we'll see how far we can take it. It's going to be coming to a science project for him more than now that I've got him completed.
Wow. And so what do you do with this thing? You bring it out to places?
Well, tonight, what do you do with it? Well, tonight will be his coming out party, as you will say. it's his debut because I just the past week got the feet motors fully operational, and I didn't have them operational at C3, so I missed out on the Droid 500 race. I had them there, but I didn't race because my motors weren't working, but I've since then got it all working this week, and tonight actually I'm going to be in Bolingbrook here, in a suburb. One of them, the theater wants me to come out there for the midnight showing. They're having several stars from Episode 1 and 2, Darth Maul, and another actor who will be doing autographs, and a TV crew that are going to be doing filming. So they want me to bring my R2 out there to kind of entertain the people while they're there. And I also have, they want me to be at the studios for the TV interview tomorrow morning, as well as other theater openings. That probably is the extent, I think, of, other than what I've called several hospitals in the hopes that I could, children's hospitals, in the hopes that I can bring him out and entertain the kids who either cannot go to the movies or just, you know, to lift their spirits. So that is, I think, ultimately, so he doesn't sit in a corner just to be a big expensive toy, is to get some use out of him from that aspect. So that's what I'm hoping to do with him.
Wow. So it sounds to me like because of the Star Wars franchise and R2 as being this, you know, interesting character, that there's all sorts of robotics projects and even your son working on robotic projects because of the movies. Do you think that the science fiction films and things like that inspire people to build things like this? I mean, obviously.
Oh yeah, I mean, I'm a diehard sci-fi fan from the 50s type genre. That's what I truly enjoy. Everything from the B9 robot, which I'd love to eventually build, possibly from Lost in Space, to Tobor, to any of those. It does spur the imagination to want to try to recreate, in my case, from my childhood, some of these robots that I see. And for my sons, their age now is just highly techno-oriented with games and things of that nature. So for them, what seems very complicated to maybe older people, to them, is no big deal. It's just a little electronic thing, and they enjoy it from that way. But most definitely, the sci-fi films really spur on the enjoyment, the nostalgia, and maybe just the fascination of just trying to build something that you see in the movies and actually make it work and not be computer-generated.
Mm-hmm. So I got to ask, how much is your R2 coming in as far as, you can't count the hours, of course, but how much money have you put in the R2?
Let's see. Okay, the real price, he's probably right now, if you were to tally up the price of all the parts, is probably over $6,000.
Uh-huh.
And time-wise, yeah, I've got probably, I initially thought, you know, 500, 600, I'm probably 700-800 hours of time invested in him. So, because a lot of these parts are custom parts.
Yeah.
And some of them I've helped other builders who are very helpful on the group for, if I need help, they help me, I help them, and then we either, we don't try to profiteer from the parts. If I bought a part 2 years ago for $10, and somebody needs a part today and I have it, I'll sell it for $10. So the whole thing of the group is trying to be helpful to one another and not try to profit off of this thing.
Yeah.
It's just to enjoy building.
So everyone shares plans and processes and all that. So it's a community that's very into sharing
making the most
the property.
And sharing. Right. Exactly right.
Interesting.
It's
and
a
so
very
what's
helpful group.
What's I mean, you guys have there's a conference and there you know these robots are you know very popular and people like to see them. What's the response to you know the Lucas franchise? I mean, it seems like they must like these. I mean, they're out. There's no.
Well, George Lucas was in. Unfortunately, I wasn't in the room. Wasn't there when George Lucas arrived. He was at least from what I hear from the people who were in the room. He was quite pleased with what he saw. Quite you know happy. Don Beese, who's one of the premier design engineers of ILM, who works on the original R2 Uber robot, which is the original R2, you know, gave a seminar in the group. He communicates with the group, you know, and we ask advice from him. But George Lucas himself, again, he's that's why there are no kits available, because, again, he does own the licensing rights to R2. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to say he tolerates may not be the right word, but, I mean, he was, of all the groups that were at Celebration 3, he came to our room, the R2 Builders room, mm-hmm. and was fascinated by what he saw. So I think that speaks volumes for itself.
Yeah, yeah. To me, it seems like there's a special place, you know, for R2, for him,
yeah.
And to see it out there and to you know watch everyone build these amazing, not only replicas but you know functional robots. I mean, we could you know live
definitely.
In a time where there could be a real R2 in our homes that you know people are building.
Oh, exactly. Considering what was it at Celebration 2, which was like 3 years ago, there were maybe 6 R2s in a room. This year there were almost 50 that were able to bring their R2s out, and mind you, these things are not for people who live. I happen to drive there, but people who had to ship this thing, you're talking 100, 200 pound R2 units that to crate it up, to ship it, to fly it. That's a lot to do that.
Yeah.
And have 50 of them there was quite an amazing sight, and our room was jammed the entire celebration weekend.
Wow!
So it was great.
All right. Well, if people want to find out more information, what's a good way to find out more about building their own?
Well, their best bet is to go to the web, and we have a website that is called Astromex. That is astromech.net, and on there you'll they have everything from files regarding how to. There's welcome files, welcome to the group, here's what you need to start learning, reading, studying about, a place on there how to order parts, when there's active runs going on, and just basically helpful links to other groups and other builders that have done this. So it's got everything you ever want to do or know about an R2 and how to build an Astromech, from not only R2 to R7 to R9s to you name it. It is not limited to the R2 D2 by any means. There are so many others you can build.
All right. Well, hey, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
It's been great. I enjoy talking with you.
Take care.
Bye. Bye.
All right. I'm here with Kelly Kreider, and Kelly has one of his robots on our second issue of Make. And so you're a Star Wars enthusiast, is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. I've been following Star Wars, well, I guess ever since I was a kid.
And tell me about your R2-D2 that you have. How did you get started building R2-D2 units?
It started back several years ago. I was into construction and, you know, building houses and stuff. And I, at the same time, you know, I've been building models my whole life. And at some point, the idea came together that, well, I really ought to build an R2-D2 in the full size, you know, as I was working with the bigger materials for building houses and stuff. So that was where the initial idea came forth. And then searching the internet, I found the R2-D2 Builders Club, and then it was all downhill from there.
So tell me about the Builders Club. Is this a virtual organization? Is this a physical one that you go to? Is there meetings? How does this club work out?
It's primarily all on the internet. There's about over 3,000 members now, spanning the globe. We've got people everywhere, and in some cases, localized builders get together and show off their stuff in a local group and help inspire others to build. And then on a national level, we all got together, you know, most recently at Celebration 3, and we try time and time again to get together and also, you know, do local groups in in a bigger national sense, but that doesn't happen quite as often.
And so the one that you built, I've looked at the photos, and you know, we have this in the magazine. It seems to be one of the most accurate and complete R2D2s. What goes into building one of these?
Oh, there's a lot of factors. One, it all depends. First off, it's how much money you've got to put into the project. Second is how accurate you want it to be. And third is, you know, what sort of functions and extras you want to get into it. So it all, you know, you have to make those decisions as you begin. My very first R2-D2 was far from accurate, but, you know, nobody could tell at the time. It looked great.
Mm-hmm. And how long does it normally take you to build one of these?
My first one took me probably about 2 years, and the most recent project, me and a friend, Keith Henry, are doing a R2, R9, R2-D2 version for a fan film that's coming up, and we built that one in probably about 6 months together, you know, off and on in our spare time kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. And how much is one of these cost in terms of parts? I know time you can never really put a dollar figure on, but how much does it cost to buy all the things that you need to produce these?
If you were somebody that just wanted to get the parts and put one together and not fabricate too many of the parts themselves, you'd have a little over $5,000, and it would take a few years just to get the parts manufactured.
Wow. And tell me about some of the electronics that go in. So there's LEDs, or there's motors in some cases, some of the robots I've seen out there. Tell me about some of the electronics.
Basically, you know, your most primitive electronics would be the lights. And back in the late 70s when they did these, fiber optics were a fairly new thing. So they used fiber optics in R2's front display, and they were all bundled together, and what spun behind that was a color wheel that was illuminated, and that gave R2 the fancy flickering lights he has. Well, nowadays, with the newer movies, everything was updated, so now it's all done with LEDs. So now there's a PIC driver that people in the group have designed, and you can go and, you know, you can wire up your boards yourself, or there's also people that offer electronic kits all ready to go, you know, straight out the door. So there's two different routes you can go that way, and that's the first bit of electronics, is just the lights. You can get into, from there, there's sound systems. There's a couple of different sound systems available that some of them will talk to you when you talk to it. Some of them are infrared triggered, and some of them are remote triggered. And then above and beyond all of that, there's motorization. You can have motors in the feet. You can have doors that open. The dome can rotate. His little hollow projector on his front, the front of his dome, that can swivel. So it's really, it's a matter of how far you want to take it.
Wow. So besides the one that you've created, have you seen ones that are just, you know, even more advanced and just have, you know, all the sorts of electronics, or are you pretty much the top end of the game right now as far as R2-D2?
Oh, no, I'm at the bottom of the game. I'm pretty simple. There's guys out there, Craig Smith from Wisconsin. His droid will do a 2-3 light transition and then back again. He's also got a mini on the cover of the magazine, the little red and white one. That also has a malfunction mode where it'll just bing, and all of a sudden doors pop open and lights flicker and flash just as a fun, you know, special effect. We've got the guy in Germany that actually has a lightsaber launcher that shoots a foam rubber lightsaber out of it. So, you know, it's all about how far you want to go with it.
Wow. And in terms of the R2-D2s throughout the movies, which scene or which thing has R2 done that that you really, what's your favorite thing about R2?
I think it's just tenacity, just his ability to not get stuck when everybody else gets stuck. You know, he just keeps on going.
Hmm. And as far as other robots that are out there, how do you feel about robots, you know, like the Roomba and other robots that are starting to live in our homes? Do you think we're starting to get to the point where, you know, eventually we might actually have our R2-D, our very own R2-D2 for that does real things?
I actually think it's definitely going to get more and more so. I mean, look at what Sony's done with that little Asimo robot that they got. I mean, and that's a bipedal robot that walks around.
Yeah. There's a robot race going on with Sony and Honda and you know the Curio and the Asimo. Yeah. So you think
right.
We might have a C-3PO? Has anyone built a C-3PO out there or has attempted that?
I've got one he's from the waist up. He's finished. Still got to do his legs. And obviously, he doesn't, you know, move.
Yeah.
Not yet, anyway, until I can buy one of those Sonys and hack it.
Yeah, we've got some photos of that and some information about that in the magazine, the other one. And so, if someone is interested in building one of these and getting more information, you know, besides the magazine, where could they get some information? Is there a website or a resource that they could check out?
The easiest way to direct somebody, one, you know, you could just do a Google search of R2 Builders and you'll find us. Or our main website is www.astromech.net. And that's where everybody gets together and posts pictures, and there's links to all the blueprints and photos of other people's works, photos from events. That's sort of like our main nucleus where we all meet.
Great. Okay, well, hey, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you.
For more information about this audio show and to subscribe to Make Magazine, visit makezine.com.